This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, an interview with the management consultant which has taken over the Champaign County Nursing Home, hoping to get the troubled nursing home back in the black. We'll also get a forecast from Mike Sola. First, today's news. Just days before a potential government shutdown, Illinois has a budget. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, it's a spending plan that leaves social services, universities, and other programs on the chopping block.
Governor Rod Blagojevich says he was left with no choice, and so he cut $1.4 billion from the budget. Blagojevich lays the blame at the feet of House Democrats, who he says sent him an unbalanced spending plan.
I did their job for them. I balanced the budget. So now the ball's in their court. And I think it's very clear to them what the consequences are if they don't act.
Blagojevich says the cuts don't have to happen if the House approves his plans to bring in more revenue, plans that have been widely criticized. The House has a couple of weeks to act. The cuts reduce state funding for everything from substance abuse treatment programs, foster care parents' reimbursements, public transit subsidies, and grants for college students. While Blagojevich says he tried to inflict as little pain as possible, legislators like Danville Republican Bill Black say it appears the governor did just the opposite.
These aren't reductions. Reductions are made by a scalpel, a sharp knife, doing the least damage possible. This is done with a dull axe. It will harm people. You don't have to do this.
State agencies have also been ordered to spend less, and what that means is unclear. The administration won't say if state workers will be laid off. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Democratic Representative John Bradley of Marion says he's frustrated. He says Governor Blagojevich keeps playing political games, and the budget cuts are another example.
The people of the state of Illinois, the taxpayers of the state of Illinois, continue to be victims of an administration that's more interested in politics than it is policy.
Today, state lawmakers may discuss trying to override those vetoes, possibly with more funding. The governor's proposed expanding gambling, sweeping certain state funds, and leasing the state lottery to a private firm. Chicago is playing host to a national political convention beginning today. This weekend, the Green Party will refine its platform and nominate its candidate for president. Tony Arnold has more.
The first couple days of the convention begin with some workshops for Green Party supporters and candidates. The sessions range from how to conduct viral marketing campaigns to simply getting your name on the ballot. That's been an issue for Green candidates in Illinois, many of whom were kicked off the ballot earlier this year when the Democratic Party challenged their candidacies. Other events on tap for the four-day convention, nominating the party's presidential candidate, and a reception for Rich Whitney, who is considering a run for Illinois governor in 2 years. Whitney received more than 10% of the vote in his gubernatorial run in 2006, establishing the Greens as an official political party in Illinois. The party says that was seen as a key step to becoming a viable alternative to Democrats and Republicans. I'm Tony Arnold.
A University of Illinois at Springfield professor, Kent Redfield, says political corruption and an unwillingness to take risks make it difficult for Illinois election reform to pass. Last week, voters in Urbana attending a special town meeting turned down a proposal to add a referendum to the November ballot that would ask the Urbana City Council to consider instant runoff voting. That process would allow voters to rank candidates when they vote, and the first candidate to get a majority of the vote would win. Opponents of IRV say it's too complicated and would discourage voters. But Kent Redfield of UIS says the reason IRV didn't pass is not because of a problem with its mechanics.
It reflects the fact that the people that control the system, the parties that are in power, are reluctant to share, and the traditions in Illinois in terms of our politics tend to favor the status quo and tend to be anti-reform.
Speaking on yesterday's Focus 580 program, Redfield says the only way Illinois politics will change is if the state's voters put more pressure on their leaders. A national magazine is reporting new details about the man who killed five students and then himself when he opened fire in February at Northern Illinois University. In the August edition of Esquire, writer David Vann reports that Stephen Kazmierczyk told a friend that he admired the way the gunman who killed 32 people at Virginia Tech in 2007 chained the doors to prevent them from leaving. The article also details the University of Illinois grad student's psychological problems, suicide attempts, and questions that he had about his sexual identity. It also includes accounts by a teacher and a teaching assistant who were present when Kazmierczyk opened fire. Teacher Joe Peterson is quoted as saying Kazmierczyk calmly shot his victims and displayed no emotion. A celebration of Native American history makes its return to East Central Illinois this week. More than 1,000 dancers and singers are expected to be part of the 14th and National Powwow at the Vermilion County Fairgrounds in Danville. The event's chairman, Craig Jones, says the shows and educational seminars serve as an eye-opener, helping to dispel Indian myths seen in pop culture. He says it also exposes a civilization that relied solely on necessities.
In the world that we're living in today, in the non-Indian world, that's really consumed with materialism and the desire to have things that you want, not necessarily what you need, and respect of elders by the people that attend these things, respect of veterans. That's very important right now with the wars that we've got going on around the world.
Guests at this year's powwow include Clarence Wolfguts. The World War II veteran is the last surviving Lakota Sioux code talker, whose ability to speak his native language played a role in defeating the Japanese. Seminars will be held in bow construction, Lakota beadwork, and the early years of the Indian hobbyist movement. The National Powwow runs through Saturday. The event's been held in Vermilion County every 3 years since 1974. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The head of a St. Louis-based consulting firm hired to manage the Champaign County Nursing Home says there will be no quick turnaround for the facility. But Management Performance Associates President Michael Scovato says the home is also getting a bit of a bad rap due to a massive debt, empty beds, and an uneven number of Medicaid and Medicare residents. Scovato just completed his first visit to the nursing home, getting a firsthand look at the facility and meeting with staff. AM 580's Jeff Bossert spoke with him.
Like any engagement like this, we start off trying to figure out what's going on and what some of the inner secrets of the organization are. And I've been meeting with people. I'm sure everybody's concerned because any financial turnaround is a daunting task. But, they've got a good group over there at the nursing home. Their attitudes are good. They've got a cadre of long-term employees, which is typical of county homes. They obviously know that there's a lot riding on this. I've spent a lot of time with the nursing board of directors, and I'm just starting to get to know those folks. So I would say the first couple of days here have been pretty good, and I'm looking forward to continuing. It's not to diminish the magnitude of what we're about.
Public health citations were recently fixed at the home. Now what do we do to restore the reputation there?
It's going to take some time. You guys can help by getting the word out. You know, there are some people that think we're closing. Actually, we're taking patients. We've probably admitted 6 or 7 patients since the restriction was lifted. And we obviously need some more. We've got our marketing people out in the community talking with providers, and we're actively seeking to get residents into the facility.
Are you working more for a mix, more private pay,
yeah,
private pay and Medicare?
Private pay and Medicare, but you know, we're also admitting Medicaid residents. I mean, there's this perception that we're going to move away from Medicaid. That's not the case. We've got to build our census up, and there's enough room in that gap to take patients of all types.
Another impression that I've gotten from covering county board meetings and comments from staff is that there is too much contract nursing. What do you do to retain permanent staff there?
That's a complicated problem, and there is, in my opinion, too much of a reliance on contract nursing. It's easy to point out what the problems are, and much harder to implement a solution. Clearly, if we were able to retain more nurses, we wouldn't be in this predicament. I also think that there are some work rule issues that go throughout the organization, but and those we'll have to address. Nurses are in short supply in this market, and this market seems to be particularly difficult. Having said that, that's all the trite stuff. Everybody knows that. You know, I don't have the magic formula yet for retaining nurses, but when I do, Jeff, I'll share it with you.
Just anything else that stands out when you look around there and you've had your meetings?
No. There are some issues that have arisen with the accounting system,
the accounting system is fixable. That's really not an issue. I'm not seeing anything that's not fixable. The question is, how much time do we have to get it done? So the main thing is to get residents into the facility and let the community know, you know, listen, we do a fine job at Champaign County taking care of senior citizens, always have done. The fact that we might have hit a little glitch with this last survey cycle is an aberration in its history, and I think that the community will be quick to understand that there's a lot to be gained by using Champaign County Nursing Home.
Management Performance Associates President Michael Scovato talked with AM580's Jeff Bossert. Scovato has completed his first visit to the Champaign County Nursing Home since the county hired the firm 2 weeks ago to manage the facility. A couple of sunny days ahead, followed by a chance of rain. The heat and humidity build for the next couple of days, then a nice Sunday in the forecast. For today, in the north, according to Mike Sola, partly sunny with a chance of a few scattered showers, mainly this afternoon. But in the central sections and in the south, partly to mostly sunny. Highs from 82 in eastern Indiana to around 90 in southwest Illinois. 86 in Champaign-Urbana today under sunshine. For tonight, in northern Illinois, partly cloudy with a few evening showers, but elsewhere mostly clear. Lows from 62 in northeast Indiana to 70 in western Illinois, 68 in Champaign. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in southern Illinois and extreme southern Indiana. Hot and humid in Champaign-Urbana. Highs between 88 and 94 across the two states, 90 in Champaign-Urbana. Saturday, partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely during the day, the high 87. Occasional showers Saturday night, and then Sunday, partly sunny and less humid, the high 84. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.